Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome, it's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you'd like to be on the program, if you text ARMY to 33777, you can fill out the form. Just need your name, email, and zip code. And as we start traveling around the country doing live events, we'll be able to let you know where we are, when we're getting there, and we can also, based on those of you signing up, target where we're going to go. So please text ARMY to 33777. I got to talk to you about our economic picture right now. So there are people on both sides. It's not an either or. It's both sides believe that the government cooks the books in such a way as to rig data to tell you a story that's not actually true. And to a degree, yes. There's a problem, though, with the theory in that the private sector double checks. This is something that can't happen in communist countries. So, for example, when China tells you its economy is growing at 8%, you can't really believe that that's true. And there's no private sector report to prove otherwise. The private sector doesn't exist in China. Everything belongs to the Communist Party. So when the communists tell you there's 8% growth in China, you can look at the lack of growth with your own eyes, the flight of wealth into other markets, et cetera, the lack of stock market growth, and say this can't be true. But you don't know what it is. In this country, when the government tells you the economy is growing, what our government does is it uses survey data. And this is something I think a lot of people miss, is you know how you don't believe the polls. That's essentially what the government's doing, although in a little more detail. And in many cases, like I ran into this yesterday, as a matter of fact, the Bureau of Labor Statistics forces companies to provide data, whether they want to or not. You can get in trouble with the government if you don't. So by force of law, the government forces companies to hand over data. The government tracks that data and the government reports that data. But it basically uses statistical sampling just like everything else. And so it's only as good as the statistics. And then, yes, the government complicates things. Like, for example, people working full-time jobs. Now, starting with the Obama administration, the Bush administration did not do this. The Obama administration, to paint a more rosy picture of recovery, combined people working multiple part-time jobs. If they got up to 40 hours a week, said, look, this person's working full-time. Never mind they're working two or three jobs to get to 40 hours a week. They were classified as full-time work. That can only take you so far. For the last year, the government has been painting a rosy picture on the economy and the recovery post-COVID. The private sector data has not quite reflected the public sector data the full time. In large part, what the feds were doing was they weren't lying. They were just skewing the data. You know, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. These were the statistics, and the government massaging the statistics. But again, the difference between our country and a communist regime is that you can only lie for so long in this country at the governmental level. You can only rely on statistics that are flawed for so long before the private sector data catches up with you. And we are now at the moment where the chickens are coming home to roost for the Biden administration, inconveniently for Kamala Harris before the election. This is from Bloomberg News. U.S. job growth in the year through March was likely far less robust than initially estimated, which risks fueling concerns the Federal Reserve is falling further behind the curve to lower interest rates. Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo economists expect the government's preliminary benchmark revisions on Wednesday to show payroll growth in the year through March was at least 600,000 weaker than currently estimated, about 50,000 a month. While J.P. Morgan Chase forecasters see a decline of about 360,000, Goldman Sachs indicates it could be as large as 1 million. There are a number of caveats in the preliminary figure, but a downward revision to employment of more than 501,000 would be the largest in 15 years and suggest the labor market has been cooling for longer and perhaps more so than originally thought. The final numbers are due early next year. Such figures could also have the potential of shaping the tone of Fed Chair Jerome Powell's speech at week's end in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Investors are trying to gain insight as to when and how much the central bank will start lowering interest rates as inflation and the job market cool. Once a year, the Bureau of Labor Statistics benchmarks the March payrolls level to a more accurate but less timely data source called Quarterly Census of Employment and Wages, which is based on state unemployment insurance tax records and covers nearly all U.S. jobs. The release of the latest quarterly census report in June already hinted at much weaker payroll gains last year. As it now stands, the Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows the economy added 2.9 million jobs in the 12 months through March 2024, or an average of 242,000 per month. Even if the total revision is as high as 1 million, monthly job gains would still average around 158,000, still a healthy pace of hiring, but a moderation from the post-pandemic peak. Now, again, this is important for you to understand, because I know we're all conspiratorial these days in how we think about these things and government cover-ups. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics uses statistical sampling each month to determine jobs hirings. They take surveys of employers around the country. They randomly sample. They produce the numbers. But then once a year, they look at the actual state-level employments. Now, why once a year? Because not all the states have a uniform system. It's hard to compile the data through a uniform system. So it takes a long time to get that data. So they recompile every year and they adjust backwards to the March number to see what it actually is. It's a check within the system to make sure that the Bureau of Labor Statistics essentially is keeping itself honest. That's why it's hard to say this is a malicious conspiracy, because they then go back through and they look at the actual labor reports from the individual states based on unemployment taxes. And then you have the private sector on the outside also looking in. So the system checks itself to a degree to expose the potential for fraud and hanky panky. What we're seeing right now with the data is that the number of jobs in this country have been going up. People have been finding work, but far less than what the initial data estimated. And when they revise the data based on the unemployment filings at the state level, they're going to revise down dramatically. Now, here's what complicates things. The Federal Reserve used to have one job. The job of the Federal Reserve historically has been to keep inflation low. The way the Federal Reserve keeps inflation low is multifaceted, but primarily by putting money into the economy or pulling money out of the economy, in large part through raising and lowering of interest rates. By driving up the cost of banks to get money, the banks pass along that interest rate plus some to make a profit. The higher the interest rate goes, the less people want money from the bank, the less money the bank takes from the government, the less money is in the economy, the lower the inflation rate. And based on economic conditions, that inflation rate can go up, that interest rate can go up, that interest rate can go down to affect inflation, which bounces around back and forth. When that was the Fed's sole job, it had a pretty easy job. You just move interest rates around. You try to affect the inflation rate. You will try to keep it at 2%. 2% allows for price growth over time, allows for growth in society, allows an economy without a whole lot of inflation. It's pretty stable. Problem is, over time, Congress decided the Federal Reserve needed a second job, and that was to maximize employment. The Federal Reserve position has always been that its number one job is inflation, the number two job is jobs. But occasionally, it's got to flip and say jobs are paramount. And guess what? In an election year, when you don't like Donald Trump, of course they're going to decide you got to put as many people to work as possible, even if it causes inflation. With the numbers coming in the way they're coming in, they're going to have to cut interest rates, which might provoke more inflation. Remember, inflation is not yet at the 2% where they want it to be. But with the jobs numbers the way they are, they're going to have to do something. Now, how does this affect you and me? Well, one, they want to prevent a hard landing of the economy, which would be a recession. It's still looking more and more like we're going to get a recession. Two, they're going to possibly provoke inflation if they cut rates. They thought they had mostly cracked inflation. That's a problem. So let me get to this Bloomberg report here. The preliminary revision may reignite the debate over whether the slowdown in the labor market risks a more abrupt downshift in the economy. Employers substantially scaled back hiring in July, and the unemployment rate rose for the fourth straight month, while that contributed to a $6.4 trillion global market sell-off, the S&P 500 recovered. Markets, having recently experienced a growth scare that led to concerns that the Fed is behind the curve, will be monitoring Wednesday's release of the benchmark revision to see if the market's initial reaction was in fact correct, says Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist for LPL Financial. While other employment indicators have since reassured markets that the job market is on solid footing, policymakers are still highly expected to start lowering borrowing costs in September. So, again, you got these two competing issues for the Fed. They have to manage interest rates, keep interest rates where it is to fight inflation, and they got to manage the jobs market. The data suggests that while hiring is continuing in this country, it's actually been at a far slower pace for the past year than the initial government projections were. This audit, and by the way, a lot of the data is because of California. You should know that. California itself has been messing with the data, not intentionally. California is just a convoluted Kafka-esque state in the way it handles and reports its data. It's complicated to get anything out of the black box California data. Yes, do they manipulate data in California? Absolutely. But it also bears out that in California, because of the increase in the minimum wage to $15 an hour, they're seeing a big decline in hiring rates, and they're seeing an increase in layoffs because the California market is problematic. Around the country, it's not as bad as in California. However, it is bad around the country. And here's the other thing you got to remember. Remember that clip I played yesterday, if you were here? Don Lemon went to Atlantic City, was interviewing people. And a man tells Don Lemon, 4 years ago, I was making more than I'm making right now. And Don Lemon says, if that's not true, the data says it's better now. The data says it's better now versus what the man says is his lived experience. For the last year, the American media has lectured every American about the data. The data says your life is not as bad as you're telling me your life is. Therefore, I don't believe you about your experience. I believe the data. Turns out the data has been misleading. The data has been off. So the American press corps has lectured you about your lived experience, that your lived experience doesn't match the data. Therefore, you must be lying. And it turns out the data has been wrong. Actually, hiring's been far less robust, and the economy's been moving far slower than the government said it was, and the private sector has exposed the data. It's now going to be revised, and every single member of the media who lectured you that you're better off than you were 4 years ago and your lived experience is a lie if you don't correspond to the data, the media has been misleading and bullying you into saying the economy's better than it actually is. It turns out, just like COVID, you're right, the experts are wrong, and the media has another black eye for daring to lecture you about your own life.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
This just in, Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky says he will not apologize for suggesting that J.D. Vance's child needs to be raped. He said it this morning on MSNBC. He was not that explicit. What he said was that J.D. Vance's family needs to experience rape and the struggle over abortion from it. I'll play you exactly what he said. Of course, the Democrats, who would you know darn well, hold J.D. Vance accountable had he said this, or Donald Trump accountable, or any other Republican, they will give Andy Beshear a pass on this.
I mean, think about what some people have had to go through because of these laws. J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
Make J.D. Vance go through this. Rape of a child and the discussion over whether or not to abort the child. Andy Beshear refuses to apologize. He is who he is. We should believe him. Wow. Okay. I got some other news for you. I have happy news for you. The acolyte is dead. Praise the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. For those of you unfamiliar, The Acolyte is the TV show I have most hate-watched in my life. It was a Star Wars streaming series on Disney that literally, to give you an idea of how bad it is, a wing of a spaceship caught on fire in space, which even the implausibility of space travel has never happened in a Star Wars series where literally there's fire in space. But hey, it wasn't just the fire in space. You had a bunch of lesbian space witches, yes, lesbian space witches, who lived in space in a cave, and the stone cave caught on fire. Yes, a stone cave caught on fire. It was a terrible, terrible series where it turns out the Jedi are a metaphor for Christian parents who don't support their child's gender and sexual choices. And when the kid decides to kill the Christian parents and become a member of the queer community, their lightsaber goes from blue to red or pink. Yes, that's how terrible it was. The whole thing was a metaphor for the queer community, and it was just bizarre, and now it's dead, and it's a good thing. Disney's pumped a lot of money into something that just destroyed Star Wars and was awful, and they should memory hole it and delete it off the internet. Good riddance. Good riddance to odors as well. If you have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, they may not make the stench of the acolyte go away, but it can make the stench of dirty diapers go away, or litter box odors, or pet odors, or musty odors, you name it. Smoke odors, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in the discount code ERIC3. You get three of them for less than $200, and you save $200. And they're wonderful. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. You can plug it in with a USB cord, or you can plug it in likewise into the wall. And it just works. You can power this thing up. It traps dust. It traps pollen, and it wipes out odors. You name the odor, it's going to wipe it out. It generates ozone, gets where the odors are, wipes out those ions. All you do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, EdenPureDeals.com. You use the discount code ERIC3, E-R-I-C-K-3. You get three of them. You save $200. EdenPureDeals.com, discount code ERIC3. You will thank me later. This thing really works.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
My fellow Americans, I'm delighted to have you with me. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation from Atlanta, Georgia. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I guess I'm about to make some of you upset. Lately, I've been doing this. Hey, you can tell tempers are flared here. You can tell that people are on edge about the election. Because if I say one thing that is not in line with people's thinking about this, like, boy, do I get hate mail, and it is inevitably someone much older than me. So I might as well strike a match and burn a bridge. Can I just say this whole communism talking point is dumb? I know some of you believe it. I had one of the angry people who said he'll never listen to my show again and actually decided he was going to call the program directors of America and tell them to cancel my show and go after my advertisers. He sent an email, and at the end of it, said it's either Trump or communism. That binary. Communism is to the Republicans what racism is to the Democrats. Every Republican is the most racist person ever, and every Democrat is the most communist person ever. I have a hard time believing very many people are persuaded by either talking point at this point. It reminds me in 2016 of the Bill Maher monologue on HBO where he's like, look, I know we said Ronald Reagan was racist and George H.W. Bush was racist and Bob Dole was racist and George W. Bush was racist and John McCain was racist and Mitt Romney was racist, but this time we really mean it. Donald Trump is racist. I still laugh about that. I mean, that was it. I know we've said every Republican ever was racist, but this time we really mean it. Didn't help. Didn't help. And the Republicans, this guy's a communist. Hillary Clinton would bring communism. Barack Obama was a Saul Alinsky communist. Bill Clinton was a communist who dodged the draft because of Vietnam. Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro were a bunch of San Francisco communists. They're communists, 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 communists. You may believe it. I may believe it. I kind of do. But nobody's going to be persuaded by this because it's the boy who cried wolf. Can we get new talking points, please? I don't expect the Democrats to give up the screams of racism, nor do I expect the Republicans to give up the talk of communists, nor do I expect the average American to really care. That is my frustration with the messaging about this is communism, because, you know, I actually, yes, as the Washington Post pointed out, when your opponent is calling you a communist, maybe don't embrace price controls, because, yes, Kamala Harris's economic vision is something that has been tried and failed in many a communist nation. It's a bad policy. And, yes, Tim Walz has praised communism as meaning everybody shares equally. Kamala Harris has moved from equality to equity, that we need equal outcomes for people in life. Yes, I totally get it. But we've said it so often for so many people, whether it's real or not this time, there are so many more effective talking points for Republicans to talk about. And it, honestly, there's a generational thing. I'm trying to be diplomatic here. Older Americans who are winding down in life always seem to be in more of an existential terror about this election, that this is going to be the last election. And for them, it may very well be. They might not be alive at the next election. They are the most prone demographic to vote. The older you are, the more likely you are to vote. And we have an 80-year-old running for president in that demographic, and he's railing on the communists of the Democratic Party. Just as the Democrats, Joe Biden in particular, rails on the racists of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party literally is doing a convention in Chicago where they are dividing the room up by race. They are segregating themselves by choice. That, my friends, is racist. But there are more effective ways to talk about what's going on. In particular, the economy, national security, the border. There's so much. Vets on Duty was a group. They came to the gathering. I spoke on stage with Jeremy Hunt. They've actually got an ad out on Kamala Harris's national security policy. Listen to this.
They were tested and they failed. Here's the reality of Kamala Harris's record. Terrorists streaming across our southern border. Sweetheart deals with enemies of America. A deadly and costly exit from Afghanistan.
But he just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
This is the true cost of Kamala Harris's failed leadership. Tell Vice President Harris it's time to protect our national security.
And it ends with the headline of 13 service members killed in Kabul. There's a record to run on. She says she was the last person in the room. She was comfortable with Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan. Hit her on that. She was the tie vote, the tie-breaking vote in the United States Senate for the stimulus plan that wrecked the economy. Hit her on that. She was the tie vote for the Green New Deal that Joe Biden bragged about last night, expanding EVs across the country. They spent millions of dollars and only installed six EV chargers in the country. Hit her on that. Metaphorically, of course, metaphorically. You don't have to call her a communist. When you call her a communist, the brain of many American independent voter begins to turn off, thinking, well, you're not a serious person. You and I may think she is. And again, I don't disagree. Her policies, right out of Marxism. The problem here is that most Americans are so used to hearing Democrats scream racism and Republicans scream communism that they tune it out. A buddy of mine, we were having this discussion yesterday, as a matter of fact, about billboards. When I was in campaign management school, it doesn't matter whether you go to a Democrat or Republican campaign management school, they tell you, don't waste your money on billboards. Because there aren't good metrics for billboards. They're very scattershot. I tend to actually disagree. In some cases, they can be done right. I'm actually trying to get my friend in touch with a super PAC who could possibly run with his idea, because there is some metric out there for this. But one of the things you're taught in campaign management school is that if you're not rotating the billboard out, what happens is people drive past every day and they begin to tune it out. This one reason you got to rotate your message. So some of the advertisers that I do advertising with, I record multiple spots, and over the month, it's the same theme, but the spot begins to change. And so after you've heard the ad for a little while, you tune out. But if you change the spot, all of a sudden people's ears perk up. You're going to say, wait, this is different. What is this? Oh, it's that same company. Republicans saying communism, 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 communist, 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 communist. People begin to tune it out. Half of them went to American public schools. They don't even know what a communist actually is anymore. They think it's the nice women and gender studies teacher with hairy armpits that was a perfectly pleasant person, even if they might have thought they were a little odd. That's their communist. That's what Kamala Harris is. Does she save her armpits? I don't know. That's the extent of what they think a communist is. We got to do better. And the way to do better, of course, is to talk about the record. You can say communist without saying communist. Kamala Harris says she wants Americans to have equal outcomes, not equal opportunity. The communism is implied. Kamala Harris believes we need to take from those who have and give to those who have not. The communism is implied. Kamala Harris wants wage and price controls to keep prices down in this country. The communism is implied. Make the case on the issues and the record. I'm getting tired of the talking point. And the problem here is that older Americans, who many of whom have turned this nation's past into their idol and worship it, believe that the end of the country is coming. And so we must scream communists more loudly to warn people. You know, there are street preachers out there in America who stand on the side of the road with a bullhorn and say, repent, the end of the world is coming, repent or burn in hell. Most people look on those people as a little crazy. In terms of witnessing, it's probably the least effective witnessing tool for a Christian to do, to stand on the corner with a bullhorn and tell people repent or burn. The guys at the football stadium holding up the John 3:16 sign, way more effective than the guy standing on the corner telling people repent or burn. You tend to look on that person a lot. when the old person starts screaming about communism, Kamala Harris is a communist and she's going to bring communism, a lot of people look on that person and say, that person's a little bit off their rocker. So talk about the issues instead. It's the same way with Democrats when they scream racism all the time. Racism. You know, Tim Scott is a racist. The black man who represents South Carolina in the Senate is a racist. People look on the Democrats and say, that's a little bit crazy there, don't you think? But the Democrats, they double down on it in the same way Republicans double down on communism. And in the meantime, you got a bunch of persuadable people who could be persuaded that Kamala Harris is a communist, not by telling them she's a communist, but by telling them that Kamala Harris really does believe that there should be equal outcomes in this country, not equal opportunity for success in this country. And Kamala Harris really does believe that the government should impose price controls to fight price gouging, which in every country that's ever tried it has caused food shortages. There are intelligent ways to make the case without using the word, and it becomes more productive because it becomes more effective because people are more likely to listen to it than you just yelling, wolf, wolf, the wolf is coming, the wolf is coming. This time, I promise, I'm not lying this time. This time, the wolf is really there. You know, the boy who cried wolf is a good story for a reason. It makes a point about lying and repeating the lie. And when the lie becomes truth, people don't believe it because they've heard it so often when it was a lie. That's why Bill Maher, when he tried to stand up and tell people, look, I know we called Bush, Reagan, Dole, Romney, McCain, all racist. This guy's really racist. He's really racist. This time we're really serious. I'm serious this time, guys. I promise you, this guy is a racist. It fell on deaf ears because they've been hearing it so many times. It's like if we don't get this election right, it's going to be the end of America. That's what they said when Barack Obama got elected. That's what they said after he got reelected. That's what they said with Donald Trump. That's what they said with Joe Biden. And every single time, it's if we don't get it right this time, it's the end of the country. I'm still waiting for the end of the country. Nothing lasts forever. Maybe it's time. I doubt it. But every single election, it's always this existential frenzy of, the communists are coming. They're going to end America tomorrow if they get elected. They get elected, and what? 4 years from now, we have it all do another election. And they tell us the same thing. The communists are going to win, and the country's going to come to an end if we don't get the election right. At some point, people just stop believing you. They become very cynical about it. So actually focus on the issue at hand. Kamala Harris has a terrible record in office, has a terrible record on inflation, has a terrible record on the border, has a terrible record on national security, has a terrible record on foreign policy. This is what her record is. This is how bad it is. Do you want the people who've presided over this bad economy for 3.5 years to be kept in office? And ultimately, there is Donald Trump's winning talking point if he just sticks to it. Do you want these people to remain in office after what they've done to the economy? Do you want 4 more years of what you've just gone through? Kamala Harris's day one was 3.5 years ago. The fact that she thinks she's going to have a day one in January of next year raises the question of what the heck has she done the last 3.5 years? There's a way to say everything you want to say about Kamala Harris and imply it so that people pay attention to a message that doesn't sound like it's the same old crazy talking point. We got to do better with the messaging. Now, one of the things that Kamala Harris wants to do, encourages others to do, and the left does, is target gun owners, gun stores, gun manufacturers. And they've even come, some of these groups have come after banks that do banking for these companies. Well, that's one of the reasons Old Glory Bank started, to fill the void for conservatives, for Second Amendment supporters, where they can't target Old Glory Bank. The progressives can't for pressure because they're run by conservatives. They're owned by conservatives. They're started by conservatives. And they'd love to have you as a business or as an individual who has an account with them. You can do no-fee checking. You can do no-fee savings. I have both with them. They actually are my bank. And I really enjoy them. Their app is very innovative. I love their debit card feature where I can turn it on and off in case I've lost my card. I had to do that in the airport last month. And it just works. I can deposit cash even though it's an online bank. They're very innovative. They're very good. They're for conservatives. They're by conservatives. You never have to worry about your account being debanked as some progressives would want. All you have to do is go to oldglorybank.com. Oldglorybank.com. You can get an account in less than, 5-6 minutes. It does not take long. You fill out the form, you get your account, no fee checking, no fee savings. You can upgrade your accounts as well. They've got business accounts. You can do so much with Old Glory Bank. They're a real bank. mortgages, loans, you name it. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply. OldGloryBank.com.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. I'll get to your phone calls. Be patient with me, please. There's some breaking news I've got to share. Unfortunately, Israel has recovered 6 hostages from Gaza, none alive. Avraham Munder was 79, was the only hostage among the 6 whose death was not already known. He was abducted from Nir Oz, a kibbutz near the Gaza border. And then there was Ham Perry, age 80, Yoram Metzger, age 80, Alexander Dancy, age 75, Nadav Popowell, age 51, and Yagav Butchtab, aged 35, all taken from another border community. The Israelis knew 5 of the 6 had been killed. Hamas says that they essentially put these hostages where they knew Israel was going to strike so that the Israelis were the ones who wound up killing the hostages. They didn't know about Avraham Munder, however. All 6 bodies recovered. One of the families blaming Benjamin Netanyahu for the airstrike, saying that he should have pushed harder for peace. The others have not been public yet. They were retrieved from a Hamas tunnel under the city of Khan Yunis in a complex operation, the military said. This is breaking news. It's been announced in the last 30 minutes that the 6 Israeli hostages, all dead, have been recovered. 5 of the 6 were known to be dead. Hamas rubbing salt in the wounds, telling Israel they're the ones who killed the hostages because they put the hostages in Hamas areas that they expected Israel to bomb. 6 savages, Hamas. And these people, they demand peace. They demand a ceasefire, and they won't give up the hostages. They use them and then let Israel kill them themselves. Just, these are the monsters we're dealing with. Goodness, goodness. Prayers for these families. Got to move on. Before I do, I got to tell you, with Labor Day coming up, you're going to be doing your grilling. I can't believe we're almost at Labor Day. Omaha Steaks is doing their 50% off sale. They've extended it from their anniversary sale to Labor Day, so you can get great steaks, seafood, chicken, pork, desserts, sides, everything you need to have the perfect backyard grill out for your Labor Day weekend. All you do is go to omahasteaks.com. omahasteaks.com. In fact, you'll see their great grilling packages, and at checkout, if you put in promo code Eric, E-R-I-C-K, you're going to get an extra $20 off, minimum order required. Omaha Steaks has been serving America since 1917. They are America's butcher, and they give you 100% satisfaction guarantee on everything you order from Omaha Steaks. So they want you happy. They want you to be a repeat customer. omahasteaks.com. That's where you go, omahasteaks.com. And then at checkout, if you put in Eric in the promo code box, E-R-I-C-K, in the promo code box, you will save an extra $20 off already 50% site-wide savings. omahasteaks.com. Go there now. Load up for Labor Day weekend so you can grill out.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.